the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's that special time of year where you don't know whether or not you need to turn on the air conditioner or the heat at any given time. We missed the mark on this one today. Sorry about that. But I will do my best to fill this room with hot air now. Have any of you ever heard of a guy by the name of Pastor Jack Hinton? Pastor Jack Hinton. He is sort of well known in evangelical circles. He is sometimes described as the evangelist's evangelist. He's been known to advise and counsel a number of the Billy Grahams and people of that variety. And he spent a number of years in ministry overseas doing missionary work. And he was in Tonga, which is this little island nation out in the middle of nowhere. And this was, if I remember correctly the story, sometime in the ballpark of right after World War II. And there was a leper colony on this island. And the story goes that Pastor Hinton was leading a service at this leper colony, and he noticed towards the back there was this one figure that was sort of robed and hooded, and she seemed to be sitting so that no one could really see her. And he asked if there were any song requests. About the time this woman sort of turns around, she pulls the hood off of her head and revealed this disfigured face from the leprosy. Her nose was missing, according to the story, and she had no ears, and she raised a fingerless hand up in the air to get the pastor's attention. And he looked at her, and her song request was, "Count your many blessings." The story goes that Pastor Hinton was so overcome with emotion that he couldn't really continue. He had to go step aside for a moment. And so his assistant came to him after the service and said, "I bet you'll never sing that song again." And Pastor Hinton said, "No, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way again. I'll never sing it the same way again." In our story from the Gospel of Luke, this is the second time that Jesus cures someone of leprosy. Now, it's important for us to realize leprosy, when you say that word, most of us conjure up an image that we've got from a movie, right? The Greatest Story Ever Told, Ben-Hur, Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail, something like that, one of those great cinematic masterpieces, and we get this vision of someone with appendages falling off, okay? Medically, that's called Hansen's disease. And it was exceedingly rare, is exceedingly rare, except in very warm tropical climates. And it was in existence in the Middle East during Jesus' time. But that's not what we're talking about here. Whenever the word that is translated as leprosy, which I believe, if I'm flashing back, is Sara'at, is not that disease. It's actually any sort of skin condition. So whenever you hear leprosy in the Bible, it's not, you know, appendages falling off. It could be eczema. It could be any sort of major birthmark. It could be anything that affects the skin in an abnormal way. Okay? And so these people were considered ritualistically impure. That's why they had to keep their distance in this story. They were out and they were far and away. They were the true outcasts of society because they couldn't even come up close to beg money. People had to throw money at them if they were going to give them anything. Or food, as a matter of fact. Because there was such a fear that those diseases could be contagious. And what's fascinating, if you haven't noticed in this story, we have the 10 lepers. And they're all in this region. They're all standing outside of this one gate, one town. What does it say about at least one of them? He was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. All of these these Jewish people, and then a Samaritan. Someone that, for any other reason, would have never been allowed in a group with Jewish people. They all have leprosy. They all have this illness. They all have this condition. They are all outcasts, and they're all put together. And they're all sitting there together. Right? I think that's a fascinating thing. It turns out that being an outcast trumps any other condition or division that we may put upon ourselves. When I was in Russia a long time ago, we were visiting Sergei Posad, which is this monastery outside of Moscow, and we're in there and we're talking quietly in one corner, and this priest runs up to us, and we thought we'd done something wrong. And he comes up to us and says, "Are you Americans?" "Yeah." "Oh, thank God." He was American too. He said, "I haven't had anyone to speak English with in 3 weeks." You always seem to find people in like conditions and come together. That's what these people were doing. And so Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest. They had to show themselves to the priest to prove that they were ritualistically clean, and they could be invited to be back into full society again. Now, here poses an interesting question. There were 10 of these individuals. Only one turns back, and he was a Samaritan. We don't know how many others were Samaritans, do we? Doesn't say. We don't know what the breakup was, but the Samaritan, as a Samaritan, didn't need to go show himself to the priest, because he was a Samaritan and he wasn't getting a ticket into the temple anyway. So perhaps by realizing that he had been made healed, this Samaritan has no place else to go to render thanks to God. No place else to go. He can't go to the temple in Jerusalem. He can't go anyplace else. So he comes back to the one who had made him whole. The one who had healed him, had allowed him to enter into community again with his own people, with the other people, really, because even though that they may have been some sort of an outcast in society, the reality is they could have functioned some way. It could have been a transactional relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, but with someone with leprosy, that wasn't even a possibility. So the 9, we're going to presume Jewish people, go to the temple. We're following what Jesus said. The one Samaritan, the foreigner, the outcast, the other, the people that were looked down upon by the people of Israel, comes back and recognizes the true source of God's love and devotion, Jesus Christ. Lays down at his feet and gives him thanks. Jesus, he makes the comment, right? He says, "Were there not 10 that were healed? Where were the other 9? The other 9, truth be told, were doing exactly as Jesus had said, right? They were following what Jesus had just told them to do. But this Samaritan had recognized God's presence in Jesus Christ. Comes back and renders thanks. And it leaves me wondering, how many times do I really give thanks to God for the blessings that actually come from God? How many times do I do that? How many times have I said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem"? How many times do I say, "Thank you, Lord, for all those years of suffering on this earth"? Thank you, Lord, for the 3 years of ministry given for me, for us. Thank you, Lord, that you would suffer at Gethsemane. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life brought upon us at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for rising again. How often do we say thank you in our prayers? How often do we actually render thanks to the one from whom all blessings flow? How often do we give thanks? My brothers and sisters, the answer is not enough. It doesn't matter. You can do it 24 hours a day. The wonderful beauty and majesty and love of God bestowed upon us, showered down from heaven on us. There is not enough hours in the day for us to give thanks to God. Surely, though, we can eke out 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes, three? Who will give me 2 minutes? It's really hard sometimes to remember things to be thankful for. And that's a shame. That's on us. We need to be thankful for the little things. You know, it's cold in this room today, but we're able to worship in peace. It's cold outside today, but we were able to get here. We're able to pay our bills. We're able to gather in fellowship here after church. We have blessings right now. We have family. We have friends. We have the opportunity to go out into service in the world. Let us thank God for that beautiful, beautiful blessing. If we spend but a little bit of time each and every day thinking about what wonderful opportunities that we have to go out and render service to the world. If we spend just 5 minutes a day contemplating the beauty of God's love in our life, I believe that that can in fact kindle a little fire inside of us. Not just to keep us warm on these chilly days, but to light a fire in all of the world, that all of humanity might see and know the richness of God's blessing, His mercy, His kindness, His love. My brothers and sisters, I would ask that you not just give thanks, that you not just express gratitude to God or even to each other, but each and every day look for opportunities to give thanks in a new way. Just like as Pastor Hinton had said, that he would never sing that song the same way again. Let us never give thanks again in just the same way, a perfunctory thank you. No, let gratitude fill our hearts, the true appreciation for love and beauty, for God and for each other, that we might transform this broken and hurting world and heal and make us whole all the world over. Amen.